Well, despite the atrociousness that was our betting card last week, we are here and we are ready. You guys pour on the comments. We're terrible. Congratulations, though, to anyone bold enough to fade all four of us. You would have gone 12-0 this weekend on our best bet segment. I don't even know where to start, guys. Just an absolute bloodbath from Arkansas first half that I felt really good about. Taylen Green acted like he was a JV football player out there, threw a pick, didn't read the linebacker to the bad beat with TCU. Congratulations, Nick, being on the right side of that. Cuse, Florida Gators, they did it to me again. Can we just stop pretending? There were so many people that I respect in this business that were on the Florida Gators, from Chris Felica, Kelly in Vegas. Swing and a miss, guys. We just missed this weekend. What's up, guys? Everybody still here. Nobody off themselves.
We're gonna keep grinding. That's what we do.
I'm here because I thought you'd ask about Notre Dame again.
Hey, Notre Dame, big response.
I'm here to talk about Orgy, the new quarterback for Michigan.
That line was a joke. Like, Todd's only talk here about for overreaction. Orgies. Come on.
Great. Q. Quiet up there. You got your loss.
You got to be quiet when you're down 18 units over the last 2 weeks. There's not much you can say, right?
Well, Anything major that stuck out to y'all this weekend? I think for me, it was Oregon. They finally look like a team that lives up to their nick. Good job, Ken. Went 2-0. Didn't back Michigan, I'm guessing. Alabama looked really strong. I think they are legit. Last week may have just been a fluke. Oregon, like I said, looks like a national championship caliber team if they play like that all season. Missouri, they did what they were supposed to do. LSU comes back and wins. That was a tough road victory for them. And I didn't know if Brian Kelly's guys were going to I think what did it for me was when the announcer said that South Carolina's student section had all migrated down to the field.
Oh, yes.
A little premature, guys. That's a program that doesn't win a lot. But other than that, what'd y'all see this weekend?
I would say just as a whole, like when you're capping games, what you think is a lock is by far a lock. And even if you have the numbers to back it up and the stats and, you know, the analytics, like, that doesn't mean it's going to hit. It's getting us all. I would say that's just college football wide, this, not only this week, but this season.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot more parity this year. I mean, even Georgia, you look at Georgia, I said it. I thought this line was weird, why it was so low. Turns out Kentucky may have overlooked South Carolina last week to just try to sell out. And if that pick, I don't know if y'all saw the pick or what was going to be a pick for Kentucky, that would have swung that game. I think the Wildcats would have won it. But Georgia's got a lot of question marks if I'm Kirby Smart looking at that team. I don't know if they are the best team in the country right now. And then on the flip side, Texas, takes over as the number one spot in the AP poll. They look as legit as anybody else. Does it worry any of you with Quinn Ewers?
No, they said he's they said Quinn's not as bad as they thought. He's probably only going to miss 1 week. But Texas is also doing this without their star running back who they lost preseason. So I think that's even
and
more
a
of
a backup too, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they lost their backup week one, I believe. That's a testament. When you can go from Quinn Ewers to Arch Manning, it's pretty good.
They're running backs. They're deep there, too. They had that Gibson kid that was a very high recruit coming in. And, Archie surely, I think he
figured things out.
Yeah, he did. He had a nice game. So, real quick, then I'll let Nick go. The only thing I saw, I was going to bring up the Georgia, South Carolina blows out Kentucky. And you're like, wow, Kentucky, we made fun of the quarterback. And, I'm not saying they only scored 12 points. But them hanging around that game was shocking. I think the Kansas State game Friday night, that got me. I had over team points, 31.5. They scored 31. Shocker. Of course, that's what's going to happen. But I was really surprised because I know Nick was on the over in that. and Kansas State did their part. Where was Arizona's offense? I mean, the wide receiver got his. I think he had double-digit receptions again, but they just couldn't score any points. So that one. And then the other one was the Notre Dame line. And I think Nick will talk about that, but that one just kept coming down. I think it was like 10.5 or something. And then by kickoff, some people got it at 7. And Notre Dame just put on a whipping. So, yeah, it's like you said, it's been tough. The last 2 weeks, good luck. One, I will say that I eyed up all week, and I'm glad I got on. It was Georgia State. And I really just kept looking at that one. And then I was like, you know what? I'm just betting it. Let's go. And they won the game outright. They beat Vandy. So that was probably my one really good play of the weekend that I looked at all week. Nick, what do you got?
Yeah, just touch on Notre Dame real quick. I think that would have happened. Like, Purdue just got them at a terrible time. Like, you talk about how their week, Notre Dame's week of practice probably went. You hear in the media, like, you were like the joke of basically college football for a week. I don't care if it was Purdue. That could have been anybody, and that probably would have happened. But, yeah, I mean, that was – Purdue got 6 first downs in the entire game. Hudson Card was getting crushed and never had a chance. Riley Leonard threw for 100, ran for 100, and 3 TDs in the first half. First person since Lamar Jackson to do that. So all that injury talk about his shoulder, doesn't matter when you're not getting touched. So, yeah, that was good to see, at least from me as a fan perspective. To talk about the rest of the country, I am a little worried about, like, just everybody talking how up the SEC is this year. And every other conference is down. I have some worries about Alabama. I have some worries about Mizzou. I have some worries about what I saw from Georgia. LSU doesn't look like they're going to be dominant. Like, so outside of what we've seen from Texas, Ole Miss, Tennessee, there are a lot of question marks that people are going to find out about in the coming weeks.
Cute. Yeah, the SEC is just going to beat each other up. It happens every year. You typically, they say they start hot, and then there's really only 2 or 3 teams at the top. That's, again, that's just they play each other and they kind of bloodbath each other. So that's just going to be what it is. I'll just get out of the way. I'm waiting for Billy Napier to be fired. It doesn't sound like they're going to head to Mississippi State without him. It sounds like the move may be to just fire him after the Mississippi State game. That way it gives an interim roughly 2 weeks to kind of prepare for the next game. So that'll be interesting to see. But it sounds like per Nick De La Torre, they had a board of trustees meeting, and you usually don't have those if things are going well. So he did have his press conference today. So we'll see that. But I did find something interesting, and it might've been the best thing he's ever said in his press conferences. He said, we're seeing really good results in practice. The problem is they're not doing it to the field. And that was actually, I think, telling to admit that. He said, look, the guys look sharp Monday through Friday, Saturday. Like, I'm kind of at a loss for words. So I think there was some sincerity there. I think the players are not only letting him down, but letting themselves down and just not executing because, yeah, you can look great all season long and then shit the bed in the playoffs, vice versa, you know, a week-to-week basis. So I wouldn't be surprised if Mississippi State has a good showing at home and beats the Florida Gators. I'm hoping for it. So we'll see. But there's the Billy Napier report. That's what I got for you. And don't take my picks.
Also, in his press conference, I heard him say, because I went back and somebody told me to check it out. So he also said that they're having communication problems and guys don't know where to be on certain plays. And that was like eye-opening because, like,
that's coaching.
Week 3. This isn't camp. Like, that's stuff. You can't be having communication problems in week 3 when you're in SEC play.
I agree. I just don't understand. I will say this. It sucks to be a player and have 3 defense coordinators in 3 seasons. Like, that's got to be kind of tough. But at the end of the day, you should be able to communicate with your teammates. That, I mean, you're the one yelling next to him, you know, running next to him. Like, outside of coaching, you should be able to know where they're going to be at and vice versa. So that's not necessarily, you know, on the coaches within the field, but it's on the coaches in terms of getting those guys ready for the weekend. So, things aren't well right now. And unfortunately, they're looking at a big buyout. It sounds like the money's already been essentially gotten and it's just sitting in a bank account ready to be sent over to, you know, his bank. So it'll be interesting, but I would love a Mississippi State win. I mean, I would seal the deal. I don't think he'd be on the flight Sunday.
What is it, Keith? $32.5 million?
Nah, it's like just
for him and for him and assistance.
Yeah.
I think it is like, okay, I think that's what I read.
Yeah. But what do you do? Do you just ride him out and just make things miserable? Or like, do you fire him? Maybe you get a little juice from the players to play for an interim guy who you know is not going to be the coach after 8 weeks. but you start looking towards the future. I mean, you're going to pay him regardless. So to me, just cut the cord now.
Yeah, Urban's free.
Do you like the Texas A&M quarterback, that Reed over the
Redskins? Yeah.
I mean, too.
I thought he looked well last year, but he's hurt. He didn't look good this year in his one game. Like, he hasn't played in his second game now. I think you got to play Reed.
He's deserving. Better in Colin Klein's system, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. The ability to run.
Yeah.
It was incredible. He's got a cannon.
The Florida State Seminoles dropped to 0-3 after getting beat by Memphis. They host Cal, who they're a 2.5-point favorite. I actually like Cal if you can get the +3. I don't know how they're going to slow down Jalen Ott. I mean, this team is struggling.
Yeah, there's no answers.
And you look at their schedule, you get Cal, then you go at SMU, then you get Clemson, at Duke, at Miami. I mean,
is this team going to
get 4 wins?
No, they're not. I mean, at the end of the day,
they already cast their season win total under. For those,
how can you have DJ start next week? I mean, I don't care how bad your backup is. Like, at this point, he's just gotten, in my opinion, worse from game one to game three. I don't understand, if you're Norvell, how you don't even try to see what your youth has on your team. If you just continue to throw him out there, I feel like you're doing not only yourself, but the team and the school, you know, a disservice by saying, look, I'm not even making an attempt to change things up. It's kind of like just setting out the first 9 in baseball and saying, yeah, I don't really care about my bench guys. Like, they might be better, but we'll never know. So that's – what do you do in his situation?
So there was actually a CBS analyst that reported that there's something in his NIL deal that, like, he was, like, went there because he was, like, a guaranteed starter, and it lists, like, a certain amount of games for him to start, like, barring injury. So it's, like – I don't know if that's true, but that got reported. I mean, it's CBS, so, like, it's a legit analyst. So I'm not sure if he heard it from somebody within the program or what, but that's because I was thinking the same thing. And now it's like, okay, well, I mean, that would make sense because guy's been bad.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk bad. 0-3 this week. Still, I don't even think I can call myself the leader right now because this is just bad. But 4-5 overall, 4.5 points. We got to do better. Nick?
Yeah, Ole Miss scores 20 in the first quarter. Like, that one upset me. Arizona-Kansas State was just a bad bet. I thought Arizona would be able to score. They put up 7. And then South Carolina, that thing was going to hit off with
3.
And then all of a sudden, you have that blocked punt, which, oh, Q, that was illegal. That actually got confirmed that should have been called.
Okay, so that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that should have been called
last year.
Because they were talking about how, like, obviously South Carolina complaining about the offensive pass interference, complaining about the horse collar that took away the pick 6. And then everybody's like, okay, well, what about the block punt that should have been called back as well? So, yeah, that was illegal. Not sure why the refs missed it or just misjudged the rule.
It was pretty obvious.
That was about as obvious as it gets.
Because you can either go through or around.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was a player safety rule so that players don't flip over the top. And he literally blocked it while flipping over the top. So that should have been called,
All right.
Smitty.
Yeah, you know, TCU, like I said, that one was just – Matt, I was right with you. I mean, you had to laugh at that game. I was laughing, just sitting in my TV room laughing, going, how is this team going to blow this game? And they were down at the goal line, false start, kicked the field goal, and then that went down UCF and scored. Yeah, you know, Kansas State, like I said, that was tough. I had 31.5 over. They had 31. And, I mean, what can you do? And UCLA, I mean, Nick said he was on. He said he was going to take Indiana in that. Yeah, I should have known better with Eric Bieniemy calling the plays. You know, Indiana looked really good. That's a good team. And one thing, I gave that out on the guide, the win total. So that's what I had to talk to myself and say, you still gave out the 5.5 on this, so you're going to lose the best bet. Oh, well. But, yeah, UCLA had a little bit of momentum. It was 21-7, and they got the ball and went right down but just kicked the field goal. They just couldn't stop Indiana. I mean, they just completely, the quarterback was really sharp. It's a very well-coached team. So the Hoosiers should get a win this week and hopefully get that over that 5.5. So, yeah, tough week again.
Kurt Cignetti, he just wins. They are laying 27.5 against Charlotte this weekend. Our website projects them to win by 35. So maybe some value there. Q, close us out with this week of terror over here.
Jalen Daniels, overrated. Put an X on that one. Michigan, we had it covering. And then Matt texts me and says, we'll be fine. And 30 seconds later, the guy throws like a 40-yard bomb.
Yeah, what happened to the defense? Michigan's defense,
they weren't there.
A lot better.
There wasn't a defensive back
2.5 quarters,
20 yards of that receiver. It's like he just got blew by and just said, I'm not even chasing him. And then Arkansas, I mean, you sold me on that one. I really liked it for myself as well. And, man.
Yeah, hats off to Trent
Dilfer. Trent Dilfer. He's a game manager.
Perfect game plan for two quarters. And then Arkansas.
Taylen Green looks kind of like – you said his Boise days. I don't know. It was weird. Yeah. Does that get if they continue to have like that? Do you think Pittman makes the end of the season, or do they elevate Petrino?
I don't know. I think Pittman's.
That's two blown games.
If we get one big win in the SEC, whether it be next weekend to Auburn or against A&M, happy Monday, Sean. As you sit here and text in the group chat. Falcons plus 6.5 tonight.
I mean, I know Arkansas won, but that was
Can't really call it a good win by any means. The good news is we have a much better slate, in my opinion, especially to bet on next week. So looking at week 4 top matchups, I could have had 2 or 3 more on here. Arkansas goes to Auburn. Our website makes this, I think, basically a pick 'em in favor to Auburn. I got the plus 3.5 or plus 4. Tennessee, Oklahoma, that's obviously going to be a big one. USC, Michigan, I think that has the makings to be a big one. Hope USC comes out on top on that one. But other than that, I mean, looking at the board, we got a Friday night matchup, 2 ranked teams, Illinois and Nebraska. I think that's another good little preview for the weekend. Hopefully we get a closer game than Arizona Kansas State was, but what do you make of this Illinois Nebraska game?
I don't think Illinois stands a chance personally. I think Nebraska's rolling. Matt Rule's got that team on fire. Rayola's back, you know, a stud. Big Red Nations support them, and it's at home. I just think Belima's gonna bite off a little more than he could chew on the national spotlight, and I think Nebraska's gonna pump more.
This will be the best defense that Rayola's faced so far this year. So I am anxious to see that. They get it at home, though, which should help him out. But yeah, interested to see, because Illinois is going to like ground and pound like Bielema does. So if they limit possessions and Rayola makes a couple freshman mistakes, I could see it staying close.
Nebraska. Toddy.
Yeah, I think Illinois will try to make it a slow pace, ugly Big Ten football game. So. We'll have to see how it plays out.
Louisville, Georgia Tech. This could be a sneaky, good game. I'm excited to see the preview on that, see how these two teams shape up. It's maybe the only time we cover them this week. And then NC State. Todd, I think you have some news about the quarterback.
Yeah, backup quarterback. It looked like, I forget, can't remember who had that out, who I sent that from you guys on social this afternoon. But the starter, the kid from Coastal, injured his ankle, I believe. So they're going to go to the backup, that's a team that's struggling. I mean, that's 3 games. Western Carolina, they struggled. They got blown out against Tennessee. And then I'm drawing a blank. Who did they? Oh, Louisiana Tech. That game was really close. Tech was actually, I think, winning the game in the second half in that again. So yeah, backup. I'm not sure what the kid's name is, but it seems like the backup is going to get the start.
Arizona State going to Texas Tech. I think that could be a really good game. At this point, I think they're a plus 3.5 dog Kenny Dillingham has Arizona State playing really good. Cam Scatabo.
Texas Tech scored some points, man.
Woo, yeah, total on that. This could be a total shootout.
52-7 at half.
Yeah.
59.5 is the total in this one.
Yeah, I think last week with that North Texas, I think it was 70, I think, went by the time it kicked off. So, yeah, Arizona State, this could be a high score. And I was really shocked because I thought North Texas was going to put up a lot more points than they did in that game because Texas Tech's defense has not been good the first couple of weeks.
And shout out Chris Phillips. He called that Toledo outright win.
Yes, he did.
On the show. They dominated Mississippi State.
Yeah,
now Mississippi State plays Florida. Yeah.
The Mac. Hey, great. What a great start for the Mac. We said, you know, Northern Illinois, Toledo now. Bowling Green went into Beaver Stadium. It was right there. They had that game against Penn State. So the Mac is playing really well right now.
Yeah, we need those Mac Tuesdays back. Come on.
Mac Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, that's right.
Yep.
They come back here soon, a week or two.
We need it. Colorado State. Anybody have anything to say about Shador?
Guys,
I mean, can't hear you, Todd.
Sorry. We made fun of the Kentucky kid the other day. Man, that Colorado State quarterback's no good.
He's actually good. That was, I don't know what that was, though.
Well, he laid a major stinker.
He was talking a lot of noise, apparently, Instagram. That's why Shador wouldn't even acknowledge him. I like how he just pointed at him.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of that is getting blown up by the media saying he's, you know, not a good role model, not a good leader. Say what you will. I mean, he had the one guy he didn't shake hands with. It was because he talked crap about him.
He talked crap on him, absolutely. And one thing, too, a lot of people talked about in that game was them with a big lead again, and he was just trying to chuck the ball all over the place.
With 40 seconds left, he throws a deep ball.
Yeah. I mean, which one was worse, him doing that or Tennessee? I know we talked in our little group, or Tennessee doing an onside kick there up 30-0.
Yeah, let me explain that one for people. So that was planned throughout the week. They said they're going to do it on either the third or fourth kickoff, no matter what. Like, they wanted to put it on film for every SEC team to have to worry about and think about. So that was planned no matter what. I don't think maybe they did think they were going to be up 30-0, but I don't think they thought it was going to be in the first quarter, 30-0. So that was planned no matter what. It is a bad look, but this is their last game going into SEC play. So it was a planned thing. And I also don't think they were going to end up putting 62 on the board or whatever by halftime either. Like,
is that Kent State team the worst team in football?
No, I mean, they did the same thing to Chattanooga, who almost beat – they almost went down and beat somebody in week two.
Yeah, but I mean, Kent State lost to St. Francis of PA.
Hey, that's a quality football program out there.
And then they Penn State this week, so good luck. Penn State's going to put up some numbers against that team.
Yeah, Kent State is our lowest in our power ratings over on the website. But one matchup I do want to talk about real quick, and we kind of talked about Notre Dame, they took it to Purdue. Purdue is bad. You look at all their advanced analytics. We actually make them on our site. Oregon State is a 25-point favorite in this. The line's only 6.5. You may buy on the Beavers right now because I think that line could move. But I was amazed by that. I thought that was a typo. I texted Parker. It's like Oregon State minus 25. What? And he said Purdue is bad.
Or Notre Dame's good. And
so you take the numbers. 5.5, and I win by 24.
Because they've only played twice. Yeah. They had a bye week, so they've only played two games.
Hudson Card, I thought he would be better. Transfer from Texas.
Well, he wasn't on. I mean, he had 2 seconds to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, that was a rest in peace funeral for Purdue.
Yeah, it was – their crowd shots were hilarious. That was one of those games.
I got to think Notre Dame's going to do the same thing this week too. Really show some dominance.
And then Washington just completely laid an egg versus an inferior Washington State team.
Couldn't stop them.
17 penalties, like 13 penalties in the first half. Like, you can't win like that. And then You have a non-running quarterback run a speed option to the short side of the field on fourth and goal. Like that was odd. That was like somebody makes a mistake, like calling the play. It's like they thought it was third down or something. Like that was unacceptable.
Sean asked South Carolina, Kentucky, Indiana, A&M on my short list for survivor picks. If you aren't in a survivor pool, that I think I'm doing my first one in college. It's been a lot of fun. Thankfully, we stayed alive with Arkansas's win over UAB. I may look at A&M, Sean, taking on Bowling Green, 22-point. I don't know when else you would use the Aggies. So that may be one that you just pick it and forget it.
The Hoosiers should roll against Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte's not a good football team.
And all those guys are still suspended for Charlotte. Whooper one more week. Yeah. So
Kentucky, I don't know. Kentucky's
too good. Against New Mexico State if you wanted to save A&M.
Yeah.
The rest
Kentucky played as good as they – that was the top you will see Kentucky play all year. That was just one – that was the typical Stoops game. We're going to muddy this up. He gets the guys up. The defense, that defense played awesome. I will
you
say that.
You can play Kentucky against Florida as well and be okay. I'm being dead serious.
Kentucky against Vandy.
Or Vandy. Like, I think you have opportunity there elsewhere.
In South Carolina, I don't know. Do they get back up after that?
I don't think
so. Never-ending loss. I know they're playing Akron. Our website makes them a 38-point favorite. I think they're only laying 3 touchdowns. 27 and a half.
Guys, real quick, Brett McMurphy just put on X. Van Dyke is done for the season.
Yeah, when he got carted off, that was it.
Let me ask you guys this. Are we worried about, like, there was 21 design runs for him on Saturday. Like, when he gets an SEC play, like, I know Wisconsin's physical, but – can that be sustained throughout an entire season? Because obviously that's what they think they have to do against their prime opponents. Like that, I know he's a big guy and he's strong, kind of Jalen Hurts-ish, but still, like, that's a lot of beating to take week in and week out.
Well, I don't think they have the receivers that they do in the past. Like, who's their bona fide number one? Like, they don't have like an Amari Cooper.
I mean, Ryan Williams is going to be there, but he's 17 years old and he's skipped his prom?
Like, he's not there yet. Heard that. So they, when you look at what they have, they've had two or three. So it's like Ryan Williams hasn't had to step up in year one, but this year he is it. And that's kind of odd for an Alabama team that we've known for 15 years. Like, you could tell the talent disparity between the Alabamas that we're used to seeing and then like this year's team. Now, obviously, DeBoer got screwed the way Saban retired, like with recruiting and things like that. So it's unfortunate, but it set him back a little bit, to be honest. And NIL.
Heisman Trophy odds right now. Fox Sports has Cam Ward, the shortest shot, plus 550, followed by Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe at plus 700, then Nico Iamaliava at plus 850. Dylan Gabriel plus 900, and then the preseason short shot Carson Beck has fallen now to 12-1. Anything worth taking here?
I think Dart, because I think Lane Kiffin's pretty much made it apparent like he's going to try to just pad stats and get those numbers. I would be curious to know Josh Heupel's mindset on that with Nico. Like, Nico's putting up big numbers, but does he kind of start – tailing off if they get you a big lead in the SEC, try to save him for the next week because he's so young. Like, Dart's what, a senior this year in comparison. So I'd just be curious if Heupel wants to throw up big numbers all season long, or does he kind of back off for protection of Nico?
Well, so that's the thing, is Nico hasn't played 4 quarters yet this year. Right. He literally played 18 minutes this Saturday. Like, it is one of those where it's like, yes, you want to get him reps, but also you do want to keep him healthy. But that honestly could, if it was between those two, it could come down who finishes better in the SEC. Like, it's one of those, because people can look at stats, but they also like to look at where teams finish ranked, how good your team was, and things like that. So it could just be, say Nico beats Oklahoma and then he goes and beats Georgia or beats Alabama and has a game kind of like he just has one of those games. Like Hendon, Hooker had against Alabama. As soon as Hendon Hooker had that game, he was immediately number one with the shortest odds in the Heisman. So it's one of those where, I mean, obviously Dart could do the same thing with their schedule. If he beats a team that shouldn't beat, like when they, I think they get Georgia at home too. So it's one of those that can help either one of them out. So I don't hate either one. It's going to be a quarterback as much as we want to talk about Sanji or any of those guys. It's just, it's a quarterback award these days.
I agree.
Georgia is still the short shot to win the national championship plus 320. Ohio State plus 340, Texas plus 500, Alabama plus 900, Oregon 12-1. Anything in this futures market that's worth looking at right now? I think Georgia is still being a little overvalued here. I don't think they should be the short shot. I think it should be Texas.
I agree with that, but I'm also not going to sit there and tell you don't put money in Georgia, because I think now Georgia's gotten to the point where there were some times where Bama was like, maybe this is their down year, and then they're in the national championship. Like, because of Saban, Kirby Smart's kind of on that trajectory as well. He knows how to coach. They had a down spot. Like, I would be concerned if it happens two or three times. One time, I'm not overly concerned, because I know Kentucky was, you know, they essentially blew their load on that game. That's what they were looking for all season long. So, yes, I believe Texas is probably the shortest shot in realistic terms, but Georgia's still going to be there. And again, like I always say in college baseball, a winning ticket's not, you know, anything but value. So,
yeah, I think you look, if out of that list you gave, I know Oregon was 650 at the beginning of the year. If the Oregon we got this weekend is what we get for the rest of the season, that's worth it. I mean, they get Ohio State at home. Like, so if they win the Big Ten, that's automatic buy, plus you're in the top four. The line showed up for the first time. Like, obviously, their skill guys. Like, Oregon State's not terrible, and they made their skill, they made them look so slow, like everywhere. Like, so their skill guys are there. As long as their line, like front lines perform, that's back to being a top three or four team, like we thought during regular, like before the season started.
I wonder what the work ahead line would be for Texas, Georgia right now. Texas would be favored, right, at home.
I gotta think by.
It'd be like two. It'd be about the home field advantage if you say they play home.
I was going to say three. And a half,
four, I think.
Is this with, like, are we assuming yours is healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I would say in between that three and four range.
They'll keep him out, too. They'll keep him out, too, knowing they have Archman. Like, their schedule kind of, like, they have, what, Louisiana Monroe this weekend. They got somebody
pretty
else.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, somebody else down the week next week, and then they have a bye before the big game in 4 weeks. So there's no rushing Ewers back, especially with that abdominal strain. And you think as a quarterback, like, there's so much core involved in twisting and getting the ball off. I think they will take their time getting him back.
Yeah, you got Monroe this week. They're at home against Mississippi State. And then, like Nick said, then they get a bye, then they get the Red River shootout against Oklahoma.
Alabama, Georgia, both off this weekend as they prepare for their week five showdown in Tuscaloosa. I think I'm going to back Bama in that game. I'm hoping that they're plus points, but I think that could be a big win for DeBoer.
Total there.
Plus, I think Milroe, he's like the X factor. Just – Georgia's not going to face a quarterback other than Ewers, but Milroe's a completely different skill set. I just don't think Georgia's going to face somebody like that, and especially with DeBoer using Milroe, using his legs. I'm higher on this Alabama team than I am Georgia at this point.
I think they
have better upside.
But I've been down on them more than you guys, the whole season. I don't know. I just don't see it. They just seem like they're forcing so much. I'd like to know, like, before he got hurt, he was what, 5 for 5 on that first drive? Or Van Dyke, I should have said that. Yeah, Van Dyke was 5 for 5 on that first drive before he got hurt. So would have been nice to see what that game was, because as soon as he went out, that quarterback couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And when you're playing an air raid offense against an Alabama team, that's just not going to work. So Alabama just, I mean, that turned out to be more like they were playing Purdue than it was they were playing Wisconsin.
ESPN bet has Alabama plus 2.5 in that game.
What's the total? Does it have a total?
51.5.
Ooh, I would lean under.
I like under.
Should be a good one. Well, we're definitely getting into the meat of the schedules now with conference games. And as you can see with the top matchup board, we're going to have a lot closer spreads. So hopefully that translates into some more competitive games where we can actually cash a ticket. But until Friday for the week 4 preview show, I'm Matt Grissom, Todd Smith, Nick Hathcote, and Quentin Mills. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Or the end of this week. There we go. We'll get there.